Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our listeners, we have Mufti Muhammad Akusab Hafidhullah. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakum Allah khairan wa zayed for the opportunity.
Jazakum Allah khairan for joining us. Mufti Sahab at the airport, or where is Mufti Sahab?
No, we just came for a business meeting, alhamdulillah. So in that, we've got engrossed. I was speaking to some people about Islam, you know?
Okay.
And then they were staunch Christians and we had a lovely conversation. That was the whole thing. But inshallah, I'll share a little bit of the Kaguzari and inshallah soon. Can I share something on that?
Gee, you may.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as we were speaking to some of the people, what interesting came about is question came about, Islam is very similar to the Old Testament. So I heard them out. Then I mentioned to them that, see, Islam and the Old Testament is not similar, because actually the Bible originally came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they're non-Muslims, so you tell them, okay, God Almighty, you explain to them that we say Allah. But how is it different is, and you give them few incidents of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, like for example, you're just mentioning to them Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Dawood, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi wasalam. We mentioned to them these mighty men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happened is, the Bible refers to them as people very ordinary. For example, and this was a part that touched them very much. Like, see, Hazrat Adam. The Quran and Islam didn't blame Hazrat Adam alayhi salam for the sin of humanity that has to be redeemed. It was Allah honoring the children of Hazrat Adam to come into this world, because it was Allah's decree to make insan, the children of Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Adam, Allah's vicegerent on this earth. So he is not to blame. And when he partook of that tree, it wasn't his intentional crime. That was the insinuation that was through the whispering of the devil, who took an oath that I am sincerely advising you that you will live forever and so forth. So it's not his crime in any way. And then what the Bible does is it blames Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam for this whole scenario. And then childbirth is made into a curse due to her crime. So it explains to them, see, in Islam, childbirth is the greatest honor. A mother is sacrificing so much, going through so much, that Allah bless her child. What happened? The beautiful aspect of Islam is regarding Hazrat Hawa, it's such an honor for a mother to give birth to her child. The pain she goes through, the sacrifice she goes through, Allah rewards her for that. Through that sacrifice, it's equivalent to martyrdom if she has to pass on in that sacrifice, that through her Allah is bringing another human being into this world. And under her feet lies the paradise of her children. So they were so amazed that the concept in Islam is so beautiful. Then when it comes to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, the Bible gives the whole story of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. The Quran gives the story in somewhat a different light. Yes, this Quran and the Quran Kareem mentions Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam 43 times. Then the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explain the sons of Hazrat Nuh, Ham, Sam, Yafeh. Now how the Bible goes into the whole thing is the whole story of the building of the ark and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. But then at the end you'll find the Bible will always start disrespecting these mighty men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, then it says Nuh had a vineyard and he went into alcohol. So it falsely lays an allegation of alcohol. He was a drunkard. And then it gives a story that his son Ham comes into his area, his tent, and he finds his father naked. Not knowing what to do, he goes outside to call the two other brothers, Sam and Yafet. And their book says Japheth. And they, looking the other way, covered the father. And when he regained and recovered, when he heard what had happened, due to that, he cursed, not Ham, but the son of Ham, so his own grandson, Canaan. And what's very strange about the story is, what wrong did Ham do? Ham didn't know what to do. He called the other two brothers. And one is, if you feel what he did was wrong, why curse someone else? Your own grandchild. Then this whole story becomes the foundation of racism in the world. Because in the 15th century, when the Europeans started enslaving Africa, they used this verse in the Bible called the curse of Noah. That damn Canaan, he'll be a slave to his brothers, and so forth and so forth. So it portrays him to be such a short-sighted person. A person who's not level-headed, not intelligent, not just. And over and above that, to be a drunkard. But the Quran, on the other hand, actually speaks about these mighty men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with so much of respect. So the Quran actually came to defend the Anbiya, alayhimu min Allahi, as-salawatu wa taslimat. That the truth about them, the lies and false allegations came in to their scriptures to defame these mighty men of Allah. So one of the verses we read today on a Friday, which is Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja qayyiman liyunzira ba'san shadidan min ladun wa yubashshir al-mu'minin alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati anna lahum ajran hasana wa yunzira alladhina qalu ittakhadha Allahu walada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Quran, praises Allah, that being who sent upon his Abdihi, Allah's special servant, his Banda, a great servant of Allah, was totally humble for Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdihi al-Kitab, Allah gave him the book. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجَهُ. And Allah didn't allow any crookedness, discrepancy, contradiction in the Quran. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجَهُ. Another condition of the Quran, a state of the Quran, is قَيِّمًا. Like the Quran has no contradiction, has no mistake, has no discrepancy, like it has crept into the previous scriptures. Qayyima, the Quran is the supervisor. Quran is authority. Quran is to correct mistakes that had crept into the previous scriptures. See, their scriptures was given to the people to preserve on their own. But when it came to the Quran, Allah preserves the Quran. And the Quran defends the image of these mighty men of Allah. Like Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and this is in the Gospel of Barnabas in 162, he says that there'll be a false allegation laid against me, and this blasphemy will remain for very long until he will come and clear my name. So his Sahaba, disciples, asked him, who is he that will come? And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam clearly said, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now they will refer to this gospel as apocrypha, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is too clear and too explicit. Coming back to our discussion, what was the agenda of the devil in all of this, in allowing such discrepancies and contradictions and false allegations to creep into these scriptures about such mighty men of Allah? Because the book portrays them to be very ordinary. We'll explain to you what it says about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam also, and Hazrat Musa al-Idri, where you'll find a lot of inappropriate things perpetrated by such great people. When these are people sent by Allah as exemplary, they spent their lives par excellence in accordance to the will of Allah, not defying Allah, not disobeying Allah, despite the challenges they went through. So the agenda here was to portray such great people to actually be sinners who are not suitable to be examples for humanity's guidance. And that's where the devil gets his plan fulfilled, that if they could do it, anyone can do it. And this is how he likes people just to live their lives according to their whims and fancies and then justify it. How the whole of Christianity has been defied and tricked and duped by this belief when they say, no, Jesus died for our sins. And then such mighty men did it. So at the back of the mind, it either makes them legalize all the wrongs they want to do. And on the other hand, they believe, no, Jesus died for our sins, so it's justified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And so we have to explain to them that the Quran is not like the Old Testament or the New Testament. The Quran is preserved by Allah and explain the difference. But see, these books were true, but the devilish hand has crept in to defame such true men of Allah. And the Quran came to defend them. As that Nuh alayhi salam we mentioned to you. And then how this was the foundation of racism in the world. But the Quran doesn't use a racialistic approach. Quran, subhanallah, is not for one race, the Lord of Israel. No. Oh, humanity, oh Allah's creation, everyone are humbled before Allah. Everyone is equal before Allah. And our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith and hadith expresses these sentiments so clearly. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا لأسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى. None has superiority over the other, irrespective of race, Arab, Ajam, Ajam, Arab, white, black, black, white, all colors are equal before Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, these were the sentiments our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam portrayed in his entire life. The fact that Allah taught us this lesson in the woman that cared for him greatly, radiallahu anha, who lived with him for longer than any other human being, Hazrat Baraka Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha, who our beloved Allah would refer to as my mother after my mother. My mother after my mother. And she came from Africa. How he loved Sahaba, every Sahabi, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mehja' first Shaheed in Badr radiallahu anhu. So this shows how beautiful and perfect and profound and preserved and protected is the teachings of Islam. That we as Muslims have such a gift of Allah. But let us share this truth with the world. It's unfair that we hoard it to ourselves. We mentioned to you Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. What a mighty Nabi of Allah. But false allegations are laid against him. What a pure life he lived. How he invited to Allah for 950 years. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَى قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. 950 years. Going to every non-Muslim, inviting them, talking to them, explaining to them, guiding them, begging them, trying hard, not giving up. About 80, somewhat embraced Islam, used to teach them, but night and day behind all the non-Muslims. This is what we are begging you, respected Ummah of our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every day, reach out to somebody, explain the truth to them, express the beauty of Islam to them. You realize that when you explain to people politely, with wisdom, with akhlaq, people want to listen. They want to know. Tell them about these beautiful scientific miracles in the Quran, numerical miracles, prophecies in the Holy Quran. How amazing, how this book has not been changed, has been preserved by Allah. What an amazing life the Quran teaches us. How fortunate are we as Muslims? Today, every one of us should seize the opportunity and share this truth with humanity. The Bible takes Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, for example. Such a mighty Nabi of Allah. The father of the Anbiya alayhi salam, after him, his eldest son was Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was 86 at the time when Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was born. Look at the sacrifice, how he left his son and his wife, Hazrat Hajar, in the desert of Makkah. Interestingly, this desert, the water is also referred to there. And this desert is referred to as the Valley of baka. That's in Psalms 84. Psalms 84 refers to this valley of Makkah being baka and baka. Some Bible translations have it as the valley of weeping. And others, most of it, have it as kira baka. Now, interestingly, is the fact that the Quran that is addressing humanity and also addressing the Jews living in Medina, Munawwara, at the time of our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's why Al-Baqarah addresses them greatly, because they were living there. And this was about the first surah to be revealed in the early Medinan stage. In this surah, Allah refers to Makkah Mukarramah, which is not so common name. Makkah is known as Makkah, but it's also referred to as Bakkah. But Bakkah is the uncommon name. But Bakkah is the name known to them. So Surah Baqarah refers to Makkah as Bakkah. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتِي وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So this is Surah Ali, alluding to them, that deliberate, ponder, this is the truth. The truth has come. This is the Messenger of Allah that you have been awaiting. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his eldest son was Hazrat Ismail. His second son was Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was 99 or 100 when Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam was born. Now the Bible also mentions the whole story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in the desert, in passing Egypt, and what happened with the king, and how Hazrat Sarah was arrested, and he said to Hazrat Sarah to portray the sentiment that you are my sister. The hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ expressed this whole incident, but so beautifully. When you look at what the Bible says, and when you look at the hadith of Nabi ﷺ concerning the same event, you find the Quran and the hadith defend the Anbiya alayhi salam. And then you'll find the biblical narrative, discrepancies had crept in. Like, for example, it portrays that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was concerned about the gifts he's going to receive from that king. It doesn't show any worry that he had for her chastity or her protection. But the hadith clarifies that. His worry when he said, my sister, say you my sister, is this king would not take someone's sister. And there was nothing about gifts. The hadith explained how Allah paralyzed him despite that king going forward towards Hazrat Sarah radiallahu anha. So the hadith portrays the incident in the correct light, the Quran and the hadith. And then وَأَخْدَمَهَا Hajar, and the king then gifted Hazrat Hajar as a servant for them. And Hazrat Hajar comes from a very noble family background. She was the daughter of the prior king, but Allah rescued her and chose her to be the mother of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. And the Bible will show that no, there was a lot of jealousy, and Hazrat Ismail Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't know what to do, and he had to take his family away. The hadith don't explain anything like that. That jealousy and small petty issues and all that happened in ordinary people, not in such great people. That's why the Quran and the hadith are so profound, and we are so fortunate to be Muslim. Our time has elapsed, but Hajj is coming. Let's finish on this light that our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught his entire life, how we are one ummah and how we all are sent to worship Allah. And as the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are sent to call humanity to Allah. And in Hajj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, like he showed it when he had Hazrat Usama ride on his conveyance with him from Arafah to Muzdalifah, when everyone was waiting for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was waiting for one sahabi, Hazrat Usama. And Hazrat Usama was a beautiful sahabi. And what a beautiful color. Black skin. What a beautiful color. And he was on the camel with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So not only did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, none has superiority over the other due to color, race, nationality, family background, but it's taqwa and Allah consciousness that is what makes the difference. Amal makes the difference. One's ethnicity, one's race, one's color, one's language, doesn't make a difference. How beautiful is this teaching? Unlike the previous books, the Lord of Israel, the Lord, as though Allah is only worried about one nation. But the Quran is so profound and so pure and so pristine and so practical and so sensible. How fortunate are we as Muslims Let's make shukr for this ni'mah, respected ummah, by not hoarding it for ourselves, but giving it to the recipients of this beautiful book who don't know anything about our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we Muslims have selfishly hoarded it for ourselves. We'll do all sorts of transactions, but we won't express the truth. What are we worried about? Share the truth. What you know, you answer. What you don't know, you say. I'll get back to you. جزاكم الله خيرا يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم رحمتك يا أخي.
That message. جزاكم الله خيرا مفتي صاحب for that message. Make dua for us. السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.